Hiring is a great sign that your business is doing well. And because you're succeeding, it's natural to work with others at the top of their game. As the world's number one job site, Indeed.com has more than 200 million visitors a month and delivers more hires than Monster, Craigslist, and LinkedIn combined. And we can deliver for you. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Been the voice of the fan for over 25 years. We couldn't have done it without you, the Score listener. Thank you for 25 great years. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR in HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Batacola. The second place Wolves are home this Saturday at 7 for American Girl Night. The first 5,000 kids will receive a Wolves outfit. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. The Bulls are coming off a big win over Golden State. They're off today with the Clippers in town tomorrow. LA has lost 5 of their last 10. They're actually playing in Milwaukee tonight. Also in the NBA, the Raptors playing at Washington. The Cavs visit Atlanta. Gar Forman joined the midday show earlier today. You can hear that replay coming up on the Goff and Bernstein show with Lauren sitting in today. In hockey, the Blackhawks host the Islanders tonight. Puck drops at 7:30. Anisimov and Schmaltz are out. Crawford starts in net. Jeff Glass was recalled from Rockford. Major League Baseball, the Cubs, they lost 8-4 to the Reds. They were losing 8-0, being no hit through 7. They got some runs back in the 8th inning. Eloy Jimenez with a solo shot in that game. Mike Montgomery started. He struck out 3 but gave up 2 hits and an unearned run in his inning of work. The White Sox take on San Diego later tonight. First pitch at 7:40. Earlier, the Sox released Brett Laurie. He didn't play after July 21st of last year. He was due to make $3.5 million this season. And Carlos Rodon had a bullpen session today, his first of the spring. He'll get some more pitching action on Sunday. Also, no surgery needed for David Price. The Red Sox will shut him down for up to 10 days. PGA Mexican Championship. Second round, Rory leads at 9-under now. Ross Fisher is one shot back at 8-under. Lefty shot a 68 today, and he's 7-under overall. Searching for a solution to the seepage in your basement, visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation. Kiddo worry-free smoke and carbon monoxide alarms offer 10 years of protection and no late-night battery chirps, and they're designed to help you choose the right alarm for the right location. Don't wait. Buy Kiddo's worry-free alarms today at Home Depot. Kiddo, technology that saves lives. I'm Matt Abaticola, and you're listening to 670 The Score. Celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs, this is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
What time is it?
It's 5 o'clock.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff, afternoons on The Score.
Welcome back to the Bernstein and Goff Show here on 670 The Score, 670thescore.com, and watch 670thescore.com. You can check out our live video stream at 670thescore.com, brought to you by American Needle. They make the finest quality baseball caps out there. My man Lawrence Holmes is in for Dan Bernstein today and also on Monday. But earlier in the day, Lawrence, Gar Forman pulled up a chair to the Spiegel and Parkins Show. Barry Rosner was sitting in. Give it a listen.
Can you give me a shorthand of how I can answer those people when they say, what exactly are the Bulls doing big picture?
Sure. As you guys know, we had a run there for 6, 7, 8 years that we had a level of success. We didn't get to our ultimate goal, but a level of success where we were competing at a high level. And we talked about a year ago that we thought that group had kind of run its course. And, love Joakim Noah, Derek, some of the guys that we had, but it was time for us to change course. And we talked about at that time, that we needed to begin to retool our roster, begin to get younger. And I think we began that process of retooling the roster last year when we made the Derrick Rose trade and got Jaron Grant and Robin Lopez, and very happy with both of those guys and what they've brought to the table. But we also said, you know, to retool a roster, it's not all going to happen overnight, that there was going to be a process to it. And, you know, we continued that process into the summer when we added Denzel Valentine and Zipser, and then, you know, continued to head in that direction at this trade deadline where we added Cameron Payne and Joffre Lauvergne, who's a young big who we think has got a lot of upside. And the other thing, when we made that trade, you know, we've talked about is we wanted to get more minutes for some of our younger guys. You know, Bobby Portis, who's now, you know, getting consistent minutes, Valentine, Zipser, you know, some of those guys is to start to get them on the floor. So we knew it was going to, again, take some time, and we're still in that process, that there was going to have to be a level of patience with it. Anytime that you're redoing the roster and becoming younger. And we also knew as part of that plan that we would have to be very disciplined in what we were doing. There's a new CBA in place, and there was a huge cap spike a year ago where you saw a large number of long-term contracts given out to veteran players, and we're going to look at another cap spike this summer because of the TV revenue. And as we began to add youth, we didn't want to lock ourselves in to some of those deals at that time, because we feel that there's going to be a flattening of the cap after this summer, and we want to set ourselves up for opportunities that are going to present themselves with having flexibility within our budget. And a big part of our job is managing our cap, especially as we redo this roster. So we knew we were taking a step back. We said we wanted to, you know, try to remain competitive. We didn't want to, you know, tank down to where we're a 10 or 15 win team. But we knew in taking a step back, there'd be some bumps in the road. There has been. But we think we've set ourselves up from as far as beginning to add, you know, youth and get those guys on the floor and positioning ourselves as far as the cap is concerned into the future to take advantage of opportunities. What those opportunities are, you know, if you study the league historically, they're going to come. And it could be using cap room, but it could also be uneven financial trades, or as teams put themselves in a position where they're up against a tax or in the tax, you know, it's taking back salary and getting assets such as picks to continue with retooling the roster. So
okay,
that in a nutshell, you said to be quick.
Yeah.
I was a little long.
Yeah, no,
I'll explain out kind of what our thinking is and where we are in the process right now. And we really feel, though, it's going to take a little bit of time, that we're positioned pretty well.
Okay, I'll grab my shorthand from that. Thank you, Gar.
Gar, do you really think that you can compete and rebuild or retool, as you say, at the same time? And has ownership told you that you can't entirely rebuild, or is that up to you guys to decide that?
No, they haven't said that. I just think here's our thinking in that. I think as you have young players, and I think if you look historically at the league, when you hit rock bottom, it you know, a couple things. First of all, it's a long, long way back. But secondly, I think sometimes your young players can learn how to lose, and you can create bad habits in doing so. And that's what we talked about on short-term deals, bringing in some veterans like Dwayne Wade, who's been just incredible from a, you know, having a young team, what he brings to the locker room, what he brings to the practice floor, what he brings to preparation. That's teaching the Valentines and Zipsers and Portises and, you know, Jaron Grant's, these young guys, what it's like to be a professional, what it's like to prepare, what it's like to practice. So we thought that's important. Rondo also, who there's been a lot of misinformation, I feel, out there, because Rondo has been terrific in this building at the Advocate Center and is really, really good with our young guys. And again, has been a positive. Both those guys have been positives as far as what they bring, some of the intangibles, but they're both guys who can still contribute on the floor also. And like I said, we didn't want to lock into long-term contracts, but that was part of it, teaching our guys what they needed to do as they come up through this process to be successful.
You know, it's hard to picture the Bulls being a really desirable free agent destination, as you will have that money available. And I had hoped that Dwayne Wade signing here would maybe increase that profile, but it's been awkward from a PR standpoint, from a public standpoint, and across the country. Do you feel like this will be a desirable free agent destination in the next couple of years?
Well, we do, because it's, you know, it's a great sports town, a terrific organization with history. We've got very passionate fans. You know, we play to terrific crowds each and every night. But again, that's just part of that process. And creating a level of flexibility, it's not only free agency, but to take advantage, like I said, of opportunities that we feel are going to come when the cap flattens, as far as, like I said, it could be an uneven financial trade. It could be positioning ourselves with enough young assets where we can make a trade, you know, when an opportunity arises. And if you really study the history of the NBA, you know, when really good players become available via trade, you've got to set yourself up to be in the ball game, to be in those conversations. And if you don't, from a financial standpoint, then it's difficult to do those things. And the third thing I mentioned is using that flexibility to get extra picks or get young assets when teams are in a bad situation, whether it's from a tax standpoint, when they're in a bad cap situation. So it's not just free agency. There's a lot of ways that that flexibility can be used.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't position yourself there, then you're not going to be in the ball game. And again, there's been we've studied, you know, a lot of history. We've studied what's happened throughout the league. And that was our goal. As we get younger, to not pin ourselves in a corner where there's no ability to get better through one of those different avenues.
You know, and as you talk about it, Gar, it sounds like that maybe the Jimmy Butler trade conversations will take place again in the offseason. And frankly, it would make things like the Doug McDermott and Taj trade make a little bit more sense if they were all sort of a piece of things together. Can you see how that would make sense to me?
Well, Jimmy's on him. You know, he's in his prime on a very, very good contract and playing at a high level. So we certainly feel we can continue to build around Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
Gar, if there is going to be all this cap space, the CBA certainly isn't going to make it easier for free agents to move, or at least more desirable for them to move. And you've had the Bulls historically have had a lot of cap space a few different times, and it really hasn't worked out well. Why do you think this time will be different?
Well, like I said, it's not just cap space. It's those other things that I mentioned also. You know, cap space could be a part of it. But I think if you look around the league, and your point's well taken. I think if you look around the league, it's very rare that high-level players move via cap space. It's not impossible, but it doesn't happen a lot anywhere. You know, we saw it happen in Miami, and it's hard to find, you know, other examples of it. So that's why I said we're not locking ourselves into that one box. That could be an avenue, but if you have flexibility, there's several different ways to go about it in building a team around the young core that we're trying to put together.
The Bulls general manager, Gar Forman, is with us here on The Score. So as we think about building around Jimmy, I look at the way the league is going, Gar, and say what they're doing in Houston, where James Harden is obviously a transcendent talent, but they just gave him a big pile of shooters, mm-hmm. right? And you got one guy. You don't have to be small to be a point guard anymore. You know, why not build around Jimmy, say, the way the Rockets have built around Harden with real good shooters and lots of spacing? It feels like this past offseason was a miss in terms of trying to do it that way.
Yeah, I think it takes time. You're not going to address all your needs, like I said, in overnight. And you know, I think we're getting, you know, Bobby Portis is showing as a big, he can space the floor. He's shooting a high percentage since now he's been in the starting lineup from three. We think Denzel Valentine's a guy who can knock down shots. Paul Zipser, we think, has got real potential as a shooter. And we saw him hit a huge three last night to kind of give us a six-point lead with about a minute and a half left to go. And that's an area we'll continue to really study and try to address as we move forward. But like I said, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, but we feel we're headed in the right direction as far as that's concerned.
Gar, your coach is trying to win games. You want him to also play the young guys. Is that a fair place to put him right now, and how do you think he's handling that?
I think he's handled it well, and I think it is. I think we're all on the same page in that – like I said, we, you know, obviously we want to put our guys in a position to compete to try to make the playoffs this year. Our hope is we can. But at the same time, we've all got the big picture in mind, and that is player development, getting the young guys' experience on the floor. It was part of the trade last week, like I said. I think we'll continue to see, you know, like last night as an example, to me it was very encouraging that as we came down the stretch of that game and kind of pulled away the last 4 or 5 minutes, you know, we had three of our young guys on the floor for that entire time. We had, you know, Zipser, who's a rookie, Bobby Portis, who's in his second year, and Cristiano Felicio, who's in his second year. That's progress. If we can compete, you know, and at the same time, those guys are getting that type of experience, it's a real plus.
It's a good win, and it's 5 wins out of 6. And it's I hope for your guys' sake there are some good vibes about that. And we don't mean to be minimizing it as we have the conversation, but our concerns, as we hear from the listeners, are broader and bigger. So I'll probably stay there, even in light of the good run here. I was excited about Doug McDermott's possibilities, Gar, and I understood trading up to do it. Like, man, if you think you got a guy, go and get him. Why did it not work out here for Doug?
I don't know that it didn't work out. I think, you know, that we saw an opportunity to get a young 22-year-old point guard that we really liked coming out of the draft. Was injured and missed a good portion of this season. I think it's just getting his legs under him, but we see it more as a long-term play. But to get a young point guard that's still under a rookie-scale contract for several more years, we felt that was a real plus. And like I said, we felt we were a little deeper as far as the future is concerned at the wing, because we think Denzel Valentine is going to be a very good player for us, a guy who's skilled, has got a real good feel, instincts for the game, can handle it, can pass it, and can shoot beyond the arc. And then, like I said, Zipser is a guy we think's got a lot of potential at the wing. So to trade a young wing to get the point, and then to get a guy like Joffrey Laverne in our building, who's a young big, who plays with activity, is another guy that can stretch the floor. He's shown he can make shots beyond the arc. And we will control, he'll be free this summer, but it'll be a restricted free agent. So we control that process. So in order to get two young guys, we think have a possibility to have a future here for Doug, made sense for us. We've talked about Taj, love Taj, love everything he brought to the team, to the organization, what he's about. But this direction that we're talking about and where we're headed, we weren't sure we would be able to retain him this summer. It's kind of what we went through with Joakim a year ago, and not sure he fit what we're doing moving forward, and he was going to be an unrestricted free agent. So from that standpoint, to move Doug and get two young guys that we control the process and we think have a chance to be good players, it made sense to us.
All right, so I get Cameron Payne on the contract and the possibility of the potential, but I don't know what I'm missing here as I watch him. He's not a good deep shooter yet, and doesn't seem to be as athletic as I might hope to see in a 22-year-old point guard. What am I missing on Cameron Payne?
I think he's a very instinctual player, very good in pick and roll, can make plays for himself and teammates on the move. He's got he can handle it. He can pass it. We think he's a good spot shooter. He's young. He's 22 years old. And like I said, you know, has missed a large part of this season. So, you know, we're hoping he continues to make progress this year, but we were looking beyond this year. We think he's got a real bright future. We were very high on him when he came out, and, you know, we think it's going to take some time.
Garfred, I don't know if there's been a lack of communication, but Bobby Portis, for example, said that he didn't really know what was expected of him, and Fred said that he's been told. What's being lost in translation there?
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to ask Bobby, but I think from my seat, I think the communication has been consistent and has been good. like with a lot of young guys, you know, there's the opportunities are going to be hit and miss, and like a guy like Bobby, who I've talked to a lot, you know, it's tough when you're in and out of the rotation and your minutes aren't consistent. the thing we try to preach, and again, that's part of the reason we brought in some veterans also, was you got to continue to work, you got to continue to prepare, and when the opportunity comes, you've got to be ready to take advantage of it. And now I think in a small sample, since we made the trade, we've seen that Bobby did continue to work. We see it every day here in the building, continue to prepare, and has been ready for that opportunity. But a great example of that really is Jimmy Butler, who didn't play at all his first year, played very little the first half of his second year, but was a guy with high makeup, high character, a great work ethic. And when his opportunity came, he was ready to jump on it and take advantage. And I'm certainly not saying Bobby Portis is going to be Jimmy Butler, but I'm using the example of guys that have a motor, that want to work, that want to get better, and once the opportunity comes, you're ready to go out there and perform.
As I look at Fred, Gar, it's been hard for me to even feel critical of Fred. I feel like he's got a very difficult task here, trying to win games while also helping guys develop. And the roster, as it stands right now, I don't even know what he's kind of supposed to do with five point guards, none of whom are particularly good shooters, although Jaren Grant has been shooting well of late, and there he is playing. Do you feel like this roster is right now constructed in a way that makes Fred's job easier?
Well, I think, like we talked about a little bit ago, I think it's a work in progress. And, you know, when we made the trade, we saw an opportunity to get a point guard that we like for the future. So, you know, that's going to be our job as we move forward into the summer to balance the roster more. But at this point, we wanted to take advantage of getting a player that we liked. And that's a tough balancing act, I think, for any coach when you're going through, you know, where you're changing up your roster, is getting new guys into the system, you know, getting them ready to play, and at the same time trying to compete. It's a tough balancing act. But I think Fred, from our front office to Fred and everybody involved here, we understand and are looking not so much, you know, the next game or the next week, but what is the big picture in trying to get these young guys some experience on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Gar, as you try to stay competitive and, mm-hmm. and make the playoffs, mm-hmm. and also prepare long term, do you really think it's possible to build to have a winner that way? In the way that the NBA works now, can you really build a champion that way?
Yeah, because the other thing we've done, we have all our first round picks into the future. But I think managing your cap and having a level of flexibility is of extreme importance. And different teams are going to look at it different ways. But I think if you study historically, you know, if you put yourself in a position to take advantage of opportunities when they arise, then you've got a leg up. If you don't, that's where you kind of get stuck. And I know a lot of people talk about getting stuck, you know, in the middle. Now I think if you have a capped out roster and you're in that position, then you've put yourself in a very difficult position. But if you've got young players and you continue to add young players and you have a level of flexibility, that's where I think you've got a chance to take yourself out of that position and continue to build a roster that can compete at a high level.
Gar, we really appreciate your time. You've been generous with your time. Really quickly before you go, do you think you're closer to a championship today than you were 11 months ago?
I think we're heading that direction. I do, yeah. And obviously, like I said, you know, we knew we were taking a step back. It started with the Derrick Rose trade and, you know, getting a younger center in Lopez than we had had with Gasol and Noah, getting a guy we had, you know, Jaren Grant on a rookie deal. That was the first step in that process. But I do think as we continue to add young players and continue to have a level of flexibility, that we are positioning ourselves to continue to make progress.
That was Bulls general manager Gar Forman earlier this afternoon, or morning, actually, this morning with Spiegel and Rosner here on 670 The Score. You want to react to it? 312-644-6767. I'm sure a lot of you just jumped in your cars. You're getting ready to get your weekend started, and you hadn't heard from the Bulls general manager earlier because you were working. So we played it for you. 6711 if you want to text us. Of course, if you want to tweet the show, you know what to do there. At Lawrence W. Holmes, at Jason1Goff. And we're right here for you on the text zone, as I mentioned, 6711.
When I heard that Gar Forman was going to be on, I was very much happy that we were hosting together. Because I wanted to hear how you were going to react to it. And I think that a lot of people in Chicago kind of turn to you when it comes to Bulls basketball. And I'm one of those people, right or wrong, Jay. I know it's not a cross that you necessarily want to bear. Crazy. But I'm always curious on how you see this as being someone who is around it all the time and all the people that you talk to around the league. So what's your reaction to what we just heard?
It's all BS. It's all baloney. Every word of it. You're not going to tell me that you traded 5 picks to get a guy and then trading him 2 years later isn't a complete failure for a guy in Cameron Payne that the Oklahoma City Thunder were searching for a backup lead guard. After Reggie Jackson leaves, I mean, you know, DJ Augustine a couple of years ago. I mean, they've been searching for that guy. Cameron Payne had ample opportunity with a new coach in Billy Donovan to, you know, cement himself in that situation. I mean, top to bottom. You're getting younger and more athletic by signing Robin Lopez or trading for Robin Lopez and drafting Denzel Valentine, bringing Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo in to help Jimmy Butler in a locker room because you don't want guys to learn how to lose. There's a lot of crap there. There's a lot. And then what's even more galling is I think some people have fallen for it. And the Bulls have done a great job over the last 4 years of having people fall for the okey-doke over and over and over again. This team is in peril. This team is in turmoil. I wanted to know in that interview, who's got the keys? Who's fighting for what? Michael Reinsdorf, John Paxson, or you? Because obviously, well, from the reports and from multiple reports, they're not all on the same page. Want to know about the direction of the head coach. You obviously haven't given him what he needed to run his offense. So if he's not going to run his offense, what good is he to you? Want to know about the development of these players. Tony Snell is in Milwaukee being a bum the same way he was here. The last 3 or 4 rounds of draft picks have been bad. You know, who's the answer for the Marcus Teague / Draymond Green debacle? The last 4 years have been terrible. That's on Gar Forman. So you can talk around the answers all you want. You can do the filibustering all you want and get away from the question as intended, but in the end, it's crap. And there's a reason why Gar Forman, you know, dodged this station for a couple of days and then acted as if he didn't know that we were asking for him top to bottom. I don't care if he didn't come on this show. I wanted him to come on this station and people ask him questions. The people that listen to this station, the people who understand what the hell is really going on with the Bulls. So top to bottom, I thought it was crap. I don't care about you winning 5 out of the last 6 games. Yeah, they played good basketball, played decent basketball, but in the end, what? You're a game over 500 now? This hasn't been a win. Ever since that kid's knees went to crap, this team has been scrambling, and you've seen the real talent or lack thereof in the front office.
Listening to it, I had the same – I try really hard when I'm listening to executives to give – them a chance.
Let's do it after the update.
Okay.
I want to hear from you after the update. Take your phone calls as well. We're going to skip It's On. Talk about what we heard from Gar Forman on the Spiegel and Parkins show. You're listening to 670 The Score.
You're listening to the number one sports station in Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I'm Doug Gottlieb with this CBS Sports Minute. Leonard Fournette had a tough day at the combine. His 40 time was in the low 4.5s, which was fine but not spectacular. He weighed in at 240 pounds and tried to tell everybody it was water weight. His vertical leap was only 28 and a half inches, which was almost a foot less than that of Christian McCaffrey. Remember, Fournette decided not to play, like McCaffrey, in his bowl game in an effort to prepare for the combine. When you factor in the diminishing value in running backs and the plethora of talented, likely first-round running backs available, and then you have some big-name running backs on the free agent market, you have to wonder why Leonard Fournette didn't get himself in better physical condition for the meat market, that is, the combine. It doesn't mean he won't be picked, but it does mean we can have some suspicions about his level of work ethic. I'm Doug Gottlieb.
Hiring is a great sign that your business is doing well. And because you're succeeding, it's natural to work with others at the top of their game. As the world's number one job site, Indeed.com has more than 200 million visitors a month and delivers more hires than Monster, Craigslist, and LinkedIn combined. And we can deliver for you. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Head to Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge, where everything's been raised to a higher elevation. Sports on huge screens, scratch food, and ice-cold beer on tap. Try the appetizing shareables, like the double-stacked nachos and bacon jam sliders. Twin Peaks' full-service bar features an extensive selection of draft beers, served at 29 degrees in ice-cold mugs. And there's never a bad seat in the house. With 360 degrees of HD TV screens, Twin Peaks is the perfect place for any sports fan. Head for higher ground. Head for Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks. Scenic views.
This week in music history. This week in 1955, Elvis Presley made his TV debut. This week in 1959, the winners of the first Grammy Awards were announced. The Four Seasons became the first group to have three consecutive number ones in the U.S. this week in 1963. This week in 1966, John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ was published in London.
This week in music history.
This week in 1968, Elton John's first single, I've Been Loving You Too Long, was released and didn't chart. Frankie Lymon was found dead of a suspected drug overdose at age 25 that same week. The CD was launched by Sony, Philips, and PolyGram this week in 1983. This week in 1993, Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown became parents when Bobby Christina was born.
Play.it is your new podcast network for top sports on-demand programming, including CBS sports experts and digital exclusives from dynamic personalities.
Hey, join me, Taz.
Jim Rome.
Oh, the Magic Man Malignaggi, two-time world champion.
The industrial strength nation.
Let's get to some news here.
The updates, the scores, lots happening.
Let's hand out some fantasy football advice.
The most addictive sports podcast today.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
This is the big league.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
This week
in music history.
What do
you mean? Justin Bieber was born this week in 1994. That same week, Nirvana played their final ever concert. This week in 1995, the Foo Fighters made their live debut.
It's like this and like that and like this.
Death Row Records boss Suge Knight was sentenced to 9 years in prison for violating his probation this week in 1997.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Tonight, join the Score's David Schuster for Bud Light's Talking Bulls with Bobby from 7 to 8 at O'Malley's Pub and Eatery in Aurora. Come meet Chicago Bull Bobby Portis for an autograph, get the inside scoop on the team, and enter to win a pair of Bulls tickets. Brought to you by Bud Light, famous among friends. No outside memorabilia will be signed. Transportation provided by Atlantis Limousines.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Abaticola. The second-place Wolves are home this Saturday at 7 for American Girl Night. The first 5,000 kids will receive a Wolves outfit. visit ChicagoWolves.com. The Bulls have an off day today after a big win over Golden State last night. They have the Clippers in town tomorrow. L.A. has lost 5 of their last 10 games. They play actually in Milwaukee tonight. Also in the NBA, the Raptors play at Washington. The Cavs visit Atlanta. Gar Forman, the Bulls GM, joined the midday show earlier today. Just had a replay here on the Goff and Bernstein show. And if you missed both of those opportunities, you can go online to 670thescore.com to hear that entire interview at your own leisure. In hockey, the Blackhawks, they host the Islanders tonight. Puck drops at 7:30. Anisimov and Schmaltz are out. Crawford starts in net. Jeff Glass was recalled from Rockford. Major League Baseball spring training games. The Cubs, they lost to the Reds earlier today, 8-4. Eloy Jimenez with a solo shot in that game. Mike Montgomery started. He struck out 3 but gave up 2 hits and an unearned run in his inning of work. The White Sox take on San Diego later tonight. First pitch at 7:40. Earlier today, the Sox released Brett Laurie. He didn't play after July 21st of last year, and he was due to make $3.5 million this season. Carlos Rodon had a bullpen session today, the first bullpen session of the spring for that young man, and he'll get some more pitching activity on Sunday, according to pitching coach Don Cooper. Also, no surgery needed for David Price. The Red Sox will shut him down for up to 10 days. PGA, the Mexico Championship, second round action. Rory leads by 2 at 9-under. Lefty and Ross Fisher are tied for second at 7-under. Breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Scott Levy's Rose and Hyundai. Visit roseandhyundai.com. I'm Matt Abaticola, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. This is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score, and online at 670thescore.com.
This scoreboard update was brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's go time at Dunkin' Donuts. Get your day going with 2 wake-up wrap sandwiches for $2. Enjoy 2 egg and cheese wake-up wraps and add bacon, sausage, or ham for $1 more. Perfect with a rich, smooth Dunkin' coffee. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
It's the Bernstein and Goff Show. I'm Lawrence Holmes sitting in for Dan Bernstein. He's on vacation. I'll be here Monday with Jay. We're taking a reaction to Gar Forman's interview that he had on the Spiegel and Parkin show earlier today. Barry was sitting in for Danny. And Jay gave his thoughts. We'll get to yours in just a minute. I just wanted to add, like, I like to listen to what people have to say because a lot of times you can learn what's really going on by what they don't say. I do think that even though it's an interview with a guy who's clearly versed in saying nothing, that while he's versed in saying nothing, the truth kind of belies what he has actually said. So I think it's good, like you said, Jay, to have him on the record. Yeah. I also think it's just what they're trying to accomplish seems impossible to me. And I don't think that they can do it. This idea that they can both compete and rebuild, that they I understand what he said about not wanting to be Philly, for example, and some of the statistical stuff has proven that it's hard to get yourself back from that level of depth. But
whose future would you want right now, though?
Well,
the 76ers future or the Bulls
future? You would want the 76ers future. Yeah. Right now.
Yeah,
but the other part of it is that they've hired a coach and haven't given him anything that resembles what he wants to work with or what he's known to work with. So I feel like there are failures on both the drafting side of this and the pro personnel side of it. And all of that falls under the guise of one Gar Forman, yeah, and or John Paxson. So it's
the player development side too.
Yeah.
I mean, you let go of a coach that developed players and rewarded them and rewarded their hard work with playing time.
You can't say that you got Cameron Payne for Doug and act like it worked out like exactly the way that you expected. You made all these moves to try and make it work to get Doug McDermott to be a part of your future. He was supposed to be part of your new core.
Five picks. 2014 draft, you threw together 5 picks. Gary Harris and Yosef Nurkic, who's putting together numbers right now for the Portland Trailblazers, too.
And if you liked Cameron Payne in 2015, you could have gotten him. You know, like you could have made a move and you could have found yourself with, mm-hmm, a Cameron Payne, mm-hmm, on your roster.
they've been working out point guards all year. They brought in Michael Carter Williams, and I have no problem with them trying to find whatever the fit is at guard, but don't tell us that you've got this thing figured out, because you don't. You really don't, especially in that position. And I still go back to the younger and more athletic, and every move they made had nothing to do with younger and more athletic.
No. They Dwayne Wade fell in their lap because nobody saw that fallout coming between him and Pat Riley.
Right.
Rajon Rondo is a guy that I don't know if they had their eyes on him before the Dwayne Wade thing happened, but Rajon Rondo, and give it up for Rajon because he's been a complete professional. Outside of the towel throwing thing with the coach, but he has lifted up those young dudes and has that second team playing better at times than that starting unit does. And he's always available for you.
And he's willing to work with those guys even when, you know, the story of him going out to Hoffman Estates to go be with Bobby Portis, like that's a big deal to those young guys if you're willing to show them that type of professionalism and compassion.
Yeah, on every level, whether it be the pro personnel level, whether it be the coaching choice, whether it be the lack of development because you have the worst bench in the NBA, or let's just stick to the draft. When it was thought that Matt Lloyd goes elsewhere to Orlando, John Paxson kicks himself up and recuses himself from those duties. And 2012, after the Jimmy Butler draft in 2011, you've got to show for the last 4 years, Marcus Teague, Eric Murphy, Tony Snell, Cameron Bairstow, Gary Harris, Yosef Nurkic, who turned into Doug McDermott, who then turned into Cameron Payne, Bobby Portis, Paul Zipser, and Denzel Valentine.
Paul Zipser, who they're high on.
Paul Zipser was outplaying some of the guys that you drafted in the first round.
Yep.
It's not all seashells and balloons. And no matter how long you answer a question, it still comes back to a mediocre franchise at best. Let's go out to the phone lines. Algonquin, Brian, you're on the score. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks Good. For taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
You know, you talk about draft picks, and I think back to Tyrus Thomas versus taking LaMarcus Aldridge. And I'm sure, I would hope, that would keep packs up at night. And you got to wonder if New Mexico State and Iowa State are the only places to find either college talent or coaches. Whether it's the draft, picks, and like you say, you know, they put it all in on McDermott and they let him go. Portis, he's hustling a lot, but sometimes he gets out in front of his skis. He looks a little lost out there. The other night he had a good night. I like Felicio. I like Lopez. I think they make a good combo in there. You mentioned Rajon. I think he's doing a great job with that second team. But, you know, D-Wade was, what, 33% from the field last night? And when you know, I think it was Vincent, I think it was you going into the break, you said, listening to guards like crap. I laughed because I was texting my buddy at the office, and for anybody who's listening, I was not driving. I texted my buddy back at the office, and I said, guards on the score. I said, I just puked in my car.
Appreciate the call, Brian. Let's go out to Rolling Meadows. Joe, you're on the score.
Hey, Goff, I want to commend you on your comments you made. They're spot on as a fan, feeling the same way. Two, I'm pretty sure they're thankful that you weren't on that interview. I feel like we would heard a click real quick. Hey, all of a sudden, we lose Foreman.
No. I would have asked some different questions and some of the same questions that Barry and Matt asked him. But I mean, the things that are obvious right there, you could talk around them all you want, and that's what he tried to do with Barry and Matt. But the obvious is there for you. The results haven't yielded any winning, and the plan hasn't been executed. Even though you've told people that you were trying to execute a plan that you really didn't really roll out until it was halfway through.
I heard him crap his pants when they brought the point of carrying 5 point guards right now.
Yeah,
And I don't know how many times in that one interview he said, like I said, like you said what? You haven't said anything that we want you to say and acknowledge that we all know you are a mistake.
You know, I think it'd be different, Lawrence, if, and I don't know what the precedent is for this, but just acknowledging, like Joe just said, and the accountability factor. Like, you know what? It didn't work. And we tried something. It didn't work. And we're still trying things. And they may not be working to our liking. I don't need you to light the roster on fire.
Yep.
I don't need you to kill the coach. I understand what you have to do. But I also understand what you don't have to do. And that's shine my apple, because that's not necessary. Any Bulls fan that watches these games knows what's happening here. They know. They know the roster isn't to Fred's liking. And your coach may not be that good. I know you're not going to say that. But you telling me that everything is okay as we are veering off the road.
And going to plan.
Yeah. Like, that's the galling part. Everything isn't okay. And stop talking about accountability. Stop having John Paxson roll out there and getting angry at people because they're asking questions. Stop throwing Derrick Rose under the bus like you did last press conference when you said, well, did we cry when Derrick Rose's knees went out of him? No, you didn't cry. You know what you did? You text and emailed and called all your water carriers in this city to make sure that you buried him and then the coach. That's what you did. You didn't do any crying. There were no tears. There were text messages and emails. And those things, by the way, those things stay around. Even though you tell people to delete them, they stay around. And we can even go deeper than that with a franchise that wants the media that's covering it to be a little bit more, you know, a little bit more kind, a little bit more lighthearted, you know, to focus more on the positives. That's when you know it's a wrap. That's when you, like, you know, you're always the last one to know that you lost your integrity. And I think they're finding that out now with some of the things that are going on and some of the emails that are being sent about the harsh coverage of the Chicago Bulls. Guess what? You deserve it. You deserve it. You know why? Because you carried yourself as if something was going to be different, as if we got this. Let the basketball people handle this. We got this. Meanwhile, Your locker room is in flux. You've got a coach who every single year, it seems, is undermined by the best talents on his team. And he's only been here for a couple of years. And oh, by the way, he was allowed as a name to be bandied about
for years,
mm-hmm. for an entire year. While a guy who won 50 games with garbage after a while was still winning those games. But you allowed the team to give up on him.
And you allowed the specter of Fred Hoiberg. Like, how many, when they hired him, like, how many of us knew that that's exactly who they were going to hire?
Of course.
And we knew it for, you know, 12 to 18 months that that's exactly who they were going to replace Tom Thibodeau with if it went down. The whole reason the teams do interviews is that they do want to paint the best picture possible. But it strains credibility when people can see what's actually happening mm-hmm. and you try to tell them that something completely different is happening. And that's the thing that I don't understand. That when it comes to harsh coverage, my rule is always, as long as it's not personal, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that any of this stuff has been personal.
Not at all.
It's been, what's wrong with this team? And the Bulls have been, to a certain extent, other teams have done it too, but the Bulls have been so sensitive to people saying that the Emperor is butt naked. And what evidence do you have to prove to us that he actually does have on new clothes? Because you don't. You have the one Eastern Conference final in 14 years. That's what you've got. And I know that LeBron has been there for a while, but even without LeBron, look at the other franchises in the Eastern Conference that have gotten better while you've stood still or gone backwards. And in that time, I'm waiting for you. Show me something,
yep.
something that makes me believe that you are on the right path with this. And there hasn't been any of that. You know, the hiring of Fred Hoiberg, we all were kind of like, oh, okay, well, maybe this will work. There is no certainty.
He was
going to
redefine offensive basketball in the NBA. He had his 5-year pact, which gave him all the power. Jimmy Butler was going to fall in line. Actually, Jimmy Butler was going to be played less minutes while maximizing his offensive talent. Remember those things? Remember what you were told by this same regime? The hallways were going to be a lot better because there was going to be an open line of communication. Only lines of communication I see is guys covering their ass and John Paxson having to come down and talk to a locker room and tell them, stop cutting your coach's balls off once a year.
Well, and then there's also, if you want, how about this? If the Bulls are upset about coverage, if they would like better coverage, why don't they do better? like the press conference at the end of the year. You know, remember that? The little sneaky, like, only a couple people were there because you had Cubs and White Sox going on and Blackhawks playoffs going on. And that's the type of thing that makes me not want to believe you. Because what you're doing and what you've been doing has been very shady.
All right, we'll come back, wrap this thing up right here on 670 The Score. Viva
Las Vegas. Matt Spiegel.
And Danny Parkin's here.
Listen to the Spiegel and Parkin Show every day between 9 a.m. and 1, now through March 17th, for your chance to win The Score's 25th anniversary Spring Baseball in Vegas giveaway.
It's a trip for two to Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, plus dinner at Mr. Chow with Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer, and Hall of Famer Ryan Zainberg.
Only on the Spiegel and Parkin Show, 9 a.m. to 1.
Brought to you by Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
This week in 1995, Dusty Springfield died after a long battle with cancer at age 59. MC Hammer became a preacher this week in 2000. This week in 2002, the first episode of The Osbournes TV show aired on MTV. And this week in 2012, Davy Jones, singer with the Monkees, died at age 66 after suffering a massive heart attack. This week in 1955, Elvis Presley made his TV debut. This week in 1959, the winners of the first Grammy Awards were announced. The Four Seasons became the first group to have three consecutive number ones in the U.S. this week in 1963. This week in 1966, John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ was published in London.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Play.it is your new podcast network for award-winning news programming and number one sports brands to entertainment and business leaders.
Welcome! We're gonna make you laugh, we're gonna make you think.
Give you that news and information.
Pop culture, reality TV.
What's happening in business today?
Relationships, dating.
The biggest names in sports.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
You wanna see something entertaining? Tune in.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it. This week in 1968, Elton John's first single, I've Been Loving You Too Long, was released and didn't chart. Frankie Lyman was found dead of a suspected drug overdose at age 25 that same week. The CD was launched by Sony, Philips, and PolyGram this week in 1983. This week in 1993, Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown became parents when Bobby Christina was born.
Play.it is your new podcast network for top sports on-demand programming, including CBS sports experts and digital exclusives from dynamic personalities.
Hey, join me, Taz.
Jim Rome.
Holy Magic Man Malignaggi, two-time world champion.
The industrial strength nation.
Let's get to some news here.
The updates, the scores, lots happening.
Let's hand out some fantasy football advice.
The most addictive sports podcast today.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
This is the big league.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
Sports. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I hear the people talk.
Tannehill just said something, and I don't know what it was. I'm sure he's talking crazy about me. This has been an interesting show. And if you want to listen to the podcast of this show, it'll probably be up by Sunday. Go to Bernstein.
Monday. Wow. Monday afternoon.
Go to BernsteinandGoffShow.com. Hey, man, we were having this kind of day. You thought I was going to end it on a nice note? Go to BernsteinandGoffShow.com.
Jerome Bettis running through.
I'm just, oh, come on,
Chuck. I mean, it's accurate.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You know, yeah.
I was looking for the podcast driving in to listen to the show and couldn't find it.
There sniper! American sniper Joe Ostrowski.
That's the truth.
You know what the problem is, though? This is like The Departed, where everyone gets shot and Tannehill walks off in the in the plastic covered shoes because he's the one that no one's gonna. Oh,
Mr. Handsome is here. Grab a microphone.
Ladies and gentlemen, the night just got super weird. I thought it was just going to be Joe Ostrowski doing his thing. But
bam!
Ladies and gentlemen, straight from work release, it is Joe Cowley of the Chicago Sun-Times. What's up, Joe?
How you doing?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Good. I heard my main man Gar was on the air today. Just telling the truth, telling everyone what they want to hear.
Yes.
Lies.
He's doing his thing, you know, giving the people what they want. Making sure that 300 level is getting as many T-shirts and free diabetes as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Things are fine. Fourth most valuable franchise in the NBA. Why should it change?
That's it.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Yep. So you know where we'll be starting in a few minutes.
Bears. You guys going to start with T-shirts.
Ben Roethlisberger is going to play this year.
Right. We're going to break down the Steelers. Talk Steelers draft.
And Antonio Brown contract.
Watch all those. Joe, can I get a preview? Can I get a preview of some of the things you'll be talking about when it comes to what you heard with Gar?
We'll be talking about insects.
Cockroaches?
We'll be talking about what's accountability.
What's up with that?
With what?
Cockroach.
Well, I mean, you're either in this business as general manager surviving or winning. And
basketball, I think nuclear winter happens.
I think Gar Forman is a guy that is well versed in the art of survival and is willing to stay safe. That way, you know, you're not putting it out there too much, and they feel like the times that they have gambled, they've gotten burned. And you know, that's what they are. And you know, my hope is that with Michael Reinsdorf kind of taking more lead in this thing. That there's a new
sheriff
process,
in town.
New sheriff
His name
in town,
is Reggie Hammond.
And things start moving in a different direction. And that's my hope. And we'll, if you're a Bulls fan, that's kind of what you could grab onto if you want to be Mr. Positivity, like I usually am.
Here's the crazy part. That for the last 5 hours,
for Comcast.
They think that they've gotten a dose of bad guy-age. And now for the next 3 hours, they're about to get a dose of two real bad hombres.
Because Joe glides in this space where people think, oh, it's Joe.
He's got a nice smile. Yeah, he's got the beautiful kids.
Yeah, we know what kind of vagrant Cowley can be at times where he's just, you know, demolishing.
I put all that behind me, okay?
Yeah, damn liar. But Joe's got that in him as well.
Joe's a dangerous dude.
Yeah.
Without question.
Not Joe Cowley, the other Joe.
American sniper Joe Ostrowski.
Yeah,
yes.
Don't let, you know, he looks like he's right out of Leave It to Beaver. Don't let that fool you.
So Ostrowski and Cowley will be coming up next. Enjoy your Friday
Shut
night with these two dudes. Hey, Q, I'll just see you on Sunday when we play ball, man. Sorry we couldn't get you in.
Hey, sounds good, but listen to this.
You're just going to force your way in? I told you I'm sorry we couldn't get you in. I still love you. It's my man, Q from the North Side. All right, we'd like to thank our guests, Matt Miller, Ken Rosenthal, James Fegan. We'd like to thank Beth Bernstein for booking a trip to allow this to happen. So me and my guy, Lawrence Holmes, can hang out today and yesterday.
Ben.
Yeah, and Monday as well.
These are great days we're living, bros.
These are great days we are living in. We'd like to thank our video coordinator. Our crew starts with our guy, Brian Gertz.
You know, he raises all boats. You know, I think
he knew a little bit about broats. Not as much as me because I have 5 of broats.
We'd like to thank one of the worst people of all time. But he's ours. Nick Szepkowski.
With a reminder, the NBA on TNT tonight brought to you by Chocolate Milk. Trusted by athletes, backed by science.
And this swarthy survivor, this just cretinous human being, he's our sound architect, and we love him. Chris Tannehill.
Did you know Jonathan Toews was an answer to a Jeopardy question, or the question, depending on how you look at it?
83.
No.
83.
There it is. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your night. Make sure whatever you're watching tonight on television, the sound is down so you can hang out with Joe Cowley and Joe Ostrowski. Lawrence, thank you so much. We'll do this again on Monday.
You're going to have a good time Monday, my man.
All right, everybody, have a good weekend. Ostrowski and Cowley coming up next. Thank you for listening to 670 The Score.
The horn goes off, track shoes out of the building.
Hiring is a great sign that your business is doing well. And because you're succeeding, it's natural to work with others at the top of their game. As the world's number one job site, Indeed.com has more than 200 million visitors a month and delivers more hires than Monster, Craigslist, and LinkedIn combined. And we can deliver for you. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
This week in music history. What do you mean? Justin Bieber was born this week in 1994. That same week, Nirvana played their final ever concert. This week in 1995, the Foo Fighters made their live debut. It's like this and like